Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are so happy and proud that this episode is sponsored by Butternut Box, a brand that we love for many reasons.
As you'll probably already know if you follow us both on Instagram, Butternut Box is a fresh dog food delivery service that delivers straight to your door and takes into consideration all of your dog's dietary needs. The brand started with a rescue dog, which we obviously love, and Betty and Boo have absolutely thrived on it.
Butternut Box genuinely care about their dogs, and their ethos is that good enough for the dog is not good enough. Dogs deserve better. The meals are comprised of quality meat, veg, lentils, vitamins and minerals, and don't contain any grain, wheat, gluten, corn, soy or sugar, all of which are known to cause intolerances in dogs.
We haven't been asked to say this, but we wanted to highlight the huge amount of work the Butternut Box do with dog charities. They donate meals to dogs in shelters, and they even donate freezers so that the shelters can store the meals.
If you would like to try Butternut Box out for your dog, you can get 50% off your first two boxes with the following link: www.butternutbox.com/AlexandM. Oh my god, why did I post that? Ah, I don't know what to do! Should I delete that?
Yeah, you should definitely delete that.
Hi, Al!
Hi, Em.
I did have a little musical ring to that one.
Hi, Al. You did. You opened it on a high note.
How you doing?
Good, I'm good. I'm in Edinburgh.
And I'm in the Isle of Man.
Oh my god, podcast on tour.
Podcast on tour. You're loving Edinburgh. I can just tell. I can see how happy you are. It's not as hot, is it?
It's so nice. It's not as hot. That is probably the main reason I'm loving it. It's like 10 degrees less here. And it is absolutely a stunning temperature. Still a little bit too hot, I've got to say. I would like a few degrees less.
Tough.
Maybe like
shut up.
15.
Go further
nice.
North then. Go to Greenland. Go to sit in Antarctica. I don't care. Arctic. Damn it. Antarctica's really far away. That's south. You don't want to do that. Well,
I don't know the difference.
And I always think it's really easy to remember because Antarctica is the longer word. So that's on the bottom. Whereas the Arctic is at the top because it's the shorter word. I'm going to let you know that I learned that when I was about four or five. So it's an honour to bring it to you now in your mid-30s.
Wait, so if we go north from the UK, we hit the Arctic?
Well, yeah, the Arctic's at the top of the world, so everyone will hit that at the top because it's like the ice plates at the top. And then you've got the same at the bottom. You know, I got 96% in my geography GCSE. So actually, any more
Did
questions
you?
In this arena, I'm actually all right to help you with. I'm not.
I am. Terrible at geography. Terrible.
Alex, I know that because you didn't know what Hyde Park was and you've lived in London for like near on a decade.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hit me. Good, bad or awkward. Where would you like to start?
I'll start with the good. And it's actually a good in the shape of a massive thank you to everybody that listened to last week's episode and that sent love on the back of it. We were fucking terrified to put that out, and I don't think I've ever used the word shit scared so many times in a day, in like a week, but I really, really was. And the messages that we have had have been unparalleled. The best ones that I've had have been from people who have used those forums,
okay,
who took something from the episode about their behaviour, but also just from people who were being very nice about my wedding hair, but mostly it was from people who really took something themselves from the episode. And like, I had an amazing voice note from a girl yesterday saying that she listened to the podcast on the way to work And when she got in, she had a message from her boss, like, calling her into the office, and the boss said some quite, like, unfounded, unkind things. And she was like, before it would have really, really upset me, because I'd listened to it in the morning and then I got to carry on listening to it on my way home. I really took strength in that, and it completely changed the whole way that I, like, existed that day and how I feel now. And it's like, that's so cool. And I've had we've had so many messages like that from people being like, this has actively really helped me, and this is how. And that's exactly what we wanted to do. And not to be petty, but that's the main thing that the people who critique my life say, is that we don't do anything good with our platforms. And you know what?
Yes, we fucking do.
On the back of that, and if they facilitated this good thing, and I'm really proud that we did it. So although I was terrified, I'm really pleased that it went down so well. And I just want to say, like, a massive thanks to everyone who got in touch afterwards, because, yeah, it was scary, but it was good. The reaction has made me, I feel so much better. Like, still, like, very highly strong, but so much better. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So for sure. That's good. Tell me something good.
Thank you, guys. Something good. So I went to Parliament for an event called hashtag Recognise Body Image.
What you're going to say called the Tory Leadership Party.
I'm the new Prime Minister. Imagine.
No.
No, that'd be terrible. They'd be like, we need a decision from you. And I'd be like, I need 5 working days. Just to think about it. Went to Parliament, which was really fun, like, really cool. I was obviously very excited because I've never been. Obviously, why would I have been?
You have been. You went, like, in February.
That was over Zoom.
I mean, it's still closer to Parliament than the rest of us get, but okay. Yeah. Crack up. I've never been, why would I have been? Apart from that one time that I went on Zoom.
I have to say, a little bit underwhelming. Don't know what I was expecting, but cool nonetheless.
What do you mean?
As in, like, it's just a building, but I guess I only saw one room. I didn't see, like, proper Parliament.
Did you go into, like, the House of Commons? House of Lords?
House of Lords.
The red one?
Yeah. Yes.
Worth that. How, that's the room you went into, and that's what you said is underwhelming. I'm pretty sure famously that's the best room they have. You were in, like, the suite, like, the honeymoon suite.
The event was supposed to be in there, but then we passed through it and went to it was, like, on the outside because it was too hot.
Okay.
So that is a shame, because I did think, oh my God, this room is incredible. The Red Room.
The Red Room.
I didn't know it was famous, but it was really cool.
The Red Room, that's
really
what they call
cool.
it in 50 Shades of Grey. Like,
the Red Room.
The Red Room. Got very different views of, oh God, they're all so old. Oh well.
So it was an event to celebrate this campaign by Dr. Luke Evans, who is basically trying to get companies and brands and influencers to stop editing their photos, and when they do edit their photos, to watermark it, pretty much like the law that's being passed in Norway, and especially like sponsor content as well. And like, it is really cool that it's getting talked about in Parliament and that people are taking notice. And like, Dr. Luke Evans is like, I just think it's really cool that he's doing this. It's not like, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all when it comes to body image. I think there's still, like, a lot more that needs to be talked about and addressed. But this is a really cool start. And I've just felt like I felt really, like, excited and, like, energised and, like, oh, my God, things are happening. Like, I go through waves with this stuff and, like, what I'm doing. Sometimes I think, like, is there any point to what I'm doing? Like, am I just shouting into the abyss, like, shouting into my echo chamber? Is there any point? And then something like this kind of like burst that little bubble, like, in a good way. And I was like, okay, no, this is cool. Like, people are actually talking about it. And we're like, I mean, with Parliament, you have to be like reaching, you know, different audiences then. So yeah, that was really cool.
That is really cool. And you're right. It's really nice when you feel like something is changing, because it can feel very like terminal doing this stuff, because it feels like stuff's getting worse and worse. But then I also just think, and I really believe, that we're going to look back at this point in like 20 years when all of these laws, the online safety bill regulations have come into place, and we'll look back and be like, well, that was insane. Thank God we regulated that shit show. Fingers crossed.
Right. I mean, fingers crossed. Yeah, for sure. Bad. Me.
Low key. I'm sunburned out. I've absolutely.
You are. You actually really are. I think we used to take a picture of your chest.
I don't think we should. I went to go and take one last night, and I was like, nope, don't want the mems.
You actually always get shit.
whenever you show your sunburn on social media, you get so much shit for it.
Yeah, because, like, right, I've got one of those noses. I guess it just sticks out. Physics, science, so I don't know. It's just there, right? It's closer to the sun than the rest of me. My nose gets sunburned all the time. And I always wear SPF 40 on my face every single day without fail. Yeah. And for some reason, maybe it's because I just spend a lot of time outside. Maybe I'm sweaty. I don't know. My nose gets burned. And not badly. Not like, I'm not Voldemorting anytime soon. It's just a little bit pink. And I always get like, yeah, exactly. And people are like, you're promoting skin cancer. I'm like, well, not fucking really.
Absolutely not.
Being
out
here, it's been like, this would be gas, like praying for some melanin or the bad
melanoma.
One.
Like, no, yeah, stupid.
Obviously, I don't want that. Obviously, I'm not promoting it. Obviously, I'm not being like, oh my God, live my life. Because every time I'm always like, oh God, how has this happened? But yeah, normally I don't particularly burn. The Isle of Man is nothing on London's temperatures. Like, it's only like 20 degrees. So I sat out yesterday for like an hour reading my book and bam. Just got done.
So burned.
I think I got lulled into a false sense of security.
Yeah, when it's cold.
I'm by the sea, so there's a nice sea breeze, yeah.
Windy and a bit, yeah.
I've learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, wear your SPF, kids.
And that's the... Well, wear more SPF, but yeah, I didn't put it on my arms because I was like, oh, I'll only be out here for a minute. Fucking idiot. So it's not a bad, but it's not a bad, but you know, it's not great.
It's a fun.
I'm putting it in the bad. No,
it's
no, it's not.
Bad.
If you make it sound
that.
Fun, if you make it sound fun, people are going to say
it's
that I'm promoting
fun.
Skin cancer again.
It's a light bad.
Not
no, it's
fun.
Not a light bad. Okay, you know what I mean.
No, it's a bad. I'm putting it in the
bad
category, so people specifically know it's a bad thing. Okay.
Bad. Wear your SPF. Kids, very important. Don't know why I keep saying kids.
I know, and this is why I bought baseball caps, but I just forgot to bring them with me because I just didn't think it'd be that hot. But that's why I wear a cap most of the time now to protect my little nose. So, more for me. I'm just going to have to go full Freddie Flintoff.
You need
today
a visor.
And just do the like. Oh, I actually, we're not far away from a golf club. I could go up
yeah,
and see if they've got
have
one
fun
in the shop.
With a little ponytail like
good idea.
Top.
Yeah, love that. I'm halfway yeah there. Okay, sold. Yeah, good idea. Thanks, Al. Genius. Anything bad for me?
Oh, do you know what? Like, like the bad that I was going to say doesn't, like, I don't know, doesn't feel like appropriate because it feels like this is all quite lighthearted. Not that skin cancer is lighthearted. It's obviously not. But just like, I was thinking, like, what is my bad this week before we started recording? And I was like, in the interest of being transparent, like, I'm not having a great time mentally at the moment. Like, with anxiety, it's just not feeling that great. And, like, that is honestly, that is my bad, definitely, this week. And I actually think, like, one of the worst parts of it as well is I'm being so irritable, like, so irritable. And poor Dave, like, I keep snapping at him and then being like, fuck, why am I doing that? And, like, apologising profusely. But I don't know if anxiety makes you feel irritable, but it really makes... I think it's because, like, so much headspace goes into it that you don't have much headspace for anything else. And, like, we were coming away and Dave was like, are you going to bring your hairdryer? And I was like, no, there'll be one there. There'll be one at the Airbnb, it's fine. And he was like, I don't think there will, I'll just bring a hairdryer. And I was like, there will be one at the Airbnb and I don't have any headspace for this. Like, stop it, leave me alone. And obviously we got to the Airbnb and there's no hairdryer, so I've had to go out and buy like a really little shitty one that's actually small but mighty. So yeah, I hate that. I hate the irritability. I just hate that. I hate being irritated because I just feel so guilty afterwards, like immediately afterwards. But it's just like that snap.
We were talking about that with the in the Gemma episode, weren't we? Like, I don't particularly snap at other people, but I snap at myself. And I get really, sometimes I will at Alex, but I'm much more, I think since coaching, I'm much less likely to turn it on other people now. But the thing that I still haven't got to grips with is not turning it on myself. Like, right. I really sit with myself and I'm like, this isn't his fault. Even when he's being so annoying, I'm like, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know yeah how awful he's being. Like, he doesn't know that the sound of his chewing is, like, ruining my life right now. Like, yeah, I think, like, there would have been a time when... Well, there definitely was a time when I just get really irritated by, like, loads of things. But I've talked about this so much, about, like, my expectations for other people being really high. So then I'd get irritated if they didn't match them. But a massive part of my coaching and making my life happier was just never to get annoyed with anybody else. Because I just didn't want to be. I don't like being annoyed. I don't like being irritated. But the one area I haven't been able to really fix that is with myself. So I know what you mean, but I just snap at myself. And then I get, like, if I were you now, I'd have got angry with myself about the hairdryer and I'd be so angry with myself. And then I'd, like, just be horrible to myself for, like, hours. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I just feel bad because it's like a... It's not like a constant irritation. It's just like a snap. Like, it's like a reflex. And I hate that because then I feel like it's not me, and then I just feel so guilty about it. Anyway, it's just
But you're able to communicate it, and that's good. Like, you can recognise that you're doing it, so you can at least communicate
it. Yeah, and I say sorry to him straight away, and he's like, it's fine. Like, it takes a lot for him to be, like, actually upset.
That's the Aquarius life, and I love that for him.
Is it? Yeah. It also, like, takes so much to get a rise out of him. Like, so much.
Good. That's it. I mean, out. That's exactly what you need in this life. You do not need someone hot-headed in your life. I think it would be an absolute
I would not like that at all. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That would kill me. I've never been with anyone who's hot-headed, actually, thank God. And then a part of that today as well, part of the bad as well, is, like, feeling like, I don't know if you feel this too, is, like, feeling like you can't talk about it because people are going to be like, oh, she's always moaning. Do you get that? I have this feeling of, like, I'm always moaning, like, I'm constantly moaning, and I try not to moan, like, and I try not to moan when I'm, like, busy or stressed or, like, feeling anxious, because I feel like people are like, oh, you know, she's, you know, so, and I'm just going to say it, like, people are like, oh, she's so privileged, she's got so much, you know, like, she's got such a good life, like, da 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 da, like, how can she moan? So, like, even then I was like, I don't know if that should even be my bad, do you know what I mean?
Of course you can moan. But I hate the word moaning as well. I also feel like it's really fucking gendered. I don't feel like people talk about men moaning.
Oh my God, it's so gendered. I never even thought about that. It's so gendered. It's the
same with ranting. People always tell me that I rant, and I'm just like, men never rant, how annoying. But I don't think you feel that. But yeah. I also think I'll, like, and you're one of these people that holds everything so well together. And, like, I think maybe because we work together really closely now, and I've also accidentally been privy to, like, some of your coaching sessions with Jacqueline, like, I feel like I understand the way that you work quite well now. So, like, I can tell, like, this week you've been very different to how you normally are, but you don't bring a problem to me. You just behaviour shifts tiny bit. Not bad, but, you know, you can just notice it. And I want you to know always that you can always bring a problem to me. I'll never think that you're moaning, and I'd love to be able to help you more, and I'd love to be able to, like, and I think that's true of all your friends, and actually all the people that like you. And you know what? The people that don't like you, people that listen and think, oh, she's so privileged, she can't have problems. That's an astounding lack of empathy, and you wouldn't go to them for help anyway, because of course you can have problems, and mental health is not, it's not picky, it goes for anybody, and we know that so famously now. It's something we've talked about online for a very long time, but it's incredibly clear. You know, you look at some of the most seemingly happy and successful people in the whole wide world, and you have no idea of the battles that they're facing. And that's something that we teach all the time, is that empathy is important, so and love and kindness. So you never need to feel bad for quote unquote moaning, because you're not moaning, you're sharing reality. And that's the point of this section of the podcast, is to talk about this stuff.
Of course it is. Yeah.
And it's horrible living with anxiety like that. It's horrible. Like, to just feel so unsafe all the time and so uncomfortable all the time. And I've really felt for you. So I'm really proud of you for sharing it. But I don't think you should ever feel bad, because it's just...
Yeah. And maybe we need a new word for moaning, actually. That's so true. I've never thought that it was gendered. That's never crossed my mind. But it's so true. So like, men don't moan.
And also, if they... I don't think they do. I don't think they do. Let's do awkward. Anything awkward for me?
So my awkward is that I was sitting next to a girl on the train the other day, and she was Googling, and I didn't mean to be looking at her phone, but she had one of the big phones, and it was right in front of me, and I just couldn't help it. And she was Googling, should I break up with my boyfriend? And I had major secondhand anxiety for her. Like, it honestly, I was like, I feel like I should, like, talk to her, and, like, I don't know. It was like, oh my God, I feel so bad for her. So yeah, that was mine.
Did you talk to her?
No, because then I'd have to admit that I was looking at her phone.
Yeah, you would.
Even though it was kind of in my face a little bit, but...
I don't think that's the excuse you think it is. I feel like a lot of men have used that for, like, I wasn't staring at your boobs, they were just in my face. Alex, the phone pervert.
It's a good point. That's a very good point. Shame on me.
Oh, bless her. There's an Orla Gartland song, and I love her so much. And it says, there's a lyric in it, and it's just like, oh, actually, this isn't going to make you feel any better. But it's the song is called Why Am I Like This? And she's like, I saw a girl crying on a train, and I should have asked if she was okay. But she just got up and walked away. Why am I like this? And I was like, it's that thing where you always think, like, oh God, I wish I want to help that person. Like, you know, if someone's... Because if you were crying in public, would you want someone to talk to you or not?
No. I wouldn't. Yeah, but I feel when I'm upset, I prefer to be quite insular with it. But other people prefer support.
But if you're crying on a train, like, arguably that's not that insular.
But if you can't help it, you know. I guess if you're, like, looking around, like, doing a dramatic wipe of the tears and you're, like, clearly looking for, then yeah. But
I think, yeah, I've had some really nice people. I mean, why am I always crying in public? But the few times I've been upset in public, I think I had an old lady ask for me if I was okay once. So I was like, all right. And then there was that one time when I fell over. I was doing, one of the worst days of my life. I was doing this marathon training run and I fell outside a hotel in Battersea and I just landed on the floor and I just burst into tears. I was like 11 miles in and I just wasn't thriving, and this woman who was like the nicest woman, like had the friendliest face I've ever seen on a human, she was like, are you okay? And I just looked and I was like, no. Oh. And she was like, oh my god, like what's wrong with you? Oh. And then she had to sit with me for ages. It was really embarrassing. Fuck it, that's my awkward for this week from like 3 years ago. So embarrassing.
Yeah, I do think it's good to like assume that people aren't like me and assume that it is nice to give them, to be like, are you okay? Literally just three words. And also like, if they don't want to talk to you, they'll be like, I'm fine, thank you. Or and if they do, then yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think it's always nice. Like I always get really emotional when I see those people standing with the pieces of cardboard saying free hugs.
Oh, but I think,
and then they just the people really need a hug. Wait, what you're gonna be cynical, aren't you?
No. Do you do that? Do you go and give them a hug?
Well, no.
No.
I'm not a massive hugger, but it's nice for everyone else. Okay, I have an awkward, and it's not my awkward. It's not my awkward at all. And it's someone else's awkward, and this is really bad. But we went. So it was one of my best friends' hen at the weekend, and it was really fun. And on the Saturday we went canoeing, and this guy, there were two men like leading the canoe trip.
Yes.
So there were like 20 of us, like 20 of us hens. And there were actually some boys within the hens, but that's fun and that's modern and we love to see it. But so mostly these clucking women, and we were all getting our little life jackets on and we were all getting ready to go in our canoes and have a little excursion, and it was great. And there were two men, and I'm not going to name them, who were like leading the trip. And there was an older guy who was helping us get like in the boats, and then there was the younger guy. And oh my God, I've never felt so sorry for a human being. I don't know what came over him, but the younger guy like pushed his boat. He like ran down the slipway, like running down the slipway, yeah. And he like pushed his boat out into the water, yeah. And then he did this like jump thing,
yeah,
to like clearly try and like, I'm just gonna say it, I think he might have been trying to show off like a teeny tiny bit.
It sounds like that's it.
So he pushed his boat down really fast, and then he jumped into it, and then obviously fell out the fucking boat. And we were all just like, oh my god.
Oh no, I'm dying like, for him.
I fucking died. And you know me, like I have a problem and it's not good. Like I've watched my mum trip over so many times these last few days, and you shouldn't laugh at your mum tripping over. You shouldn't. It's not appropriate.
But you're evil.
But I have a problem. And it's not even funny. Like I get really embarrassed by my own like sickness, but look, it's something I was born with. I can't do anything about it. Okay. So if this lad wants to skateboard his canoe down to the water and then fall out, and I just felt so sorry for him, because then we had to go on a 2-hour excursion and he was all wet. He had to just get back in his little boat.
I can't.
He just had to get back in his boat and just canoe with us. And we all had to not. I know. And we just had to sit there and be like, okay. Okay. Like that's normal.
Did he address it?
Well, I asked him at the end. I was like, yeah. Okay?
At the end. So at the beginning, when
we were in a different boat. Like we couldn't be like, oh my god, are you okay? Because it was like,
but did he like, you know, put his hand up and go like, haha, like, oh lol, you know?
Yeah. We had a bit of a lol, but it all had to be like, you know, like a polite lol, not like haha.
A restraint.
It had to be like, yeah, like oops, what you like? So I think everyone, a couple
that
of people,
poor
like,
man,
he was like, yeah,
mortifying.
He was a nice young guy, and then at the end, I was like, are you all right? Does that always happen? He's like, no.
Oh, lol. Bless him.
I know.
There is nothing worse than like showing off and then just doing something absolutely mortifying.
I know, and
mortifying.
When it's your job as well, like you're the one that's really good in it.
I'll keep him in my prayers.
Yeah, he was a really good sport and he was a really nice guy. And thankfully for him, I don't think he'll ever see any of us again. That's a good thing about a hen. You never go like where any of you live.
Yeah.
You always go somewhere else.
Phew,
so
thank God.
I think, phew. And if I hadn't just immortalised it on here, no one would ever know.
I know.
I've deliberately not said where we were or his name.
I actually love
Jeffrey,
that awkward.
No, I'm joking, he's not called Jeffrey.
That was really funny.
Yeah. Okay, we've got our guest to announce. This week, on the podcast is our friend, Sophie Milner.
Sophie's a fashion and lifestyle influencer, but she talks really openly about her. She's had some plastic surgery and she talks really openly about it. And we wanted to get her on to chat about it and go like sort of delve into it a little bit, because I think it's like a really interesting topic that admittedly is very much a grey area. And I don't think necessarily there are any sort of like right or wrong answers when it comes to this stuff. It's more like this interview is more like an exploration of the topic, and I found it really, really interesting, and I hope you guys do as well. And I do think there'll be lots of opinions around this, which we obviously welcome, and feel free to share them with on our Instagram DM at Should I Delete That Pod, because yeah, I think it should be an open topic, because I don't think there are. Yeah, I don't think it's black and white, is it?
No, and like I don't think, even though it's done and we've had this conversation, I don't think I know entirely where I land. Like I don't think I have a set core of beliefs here about any of it. My opinion is very fluid and individual, and yeah, I really welcome Soph's viewpoint. I love following her online because I do think her transparency is very cool.
Yeah.
And there are, and I'll confess, there are times sometimes when I look, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I just look like a sack of absolute dicks, and like, you know, there's, you know, when you just look fucking gross and you look at someone beautiful online as Soph is, and she's so like glamorous and put together, and I look at her sometimes and I think, oh my God, I wish I looked like you. And I think it's really interesting that sometimes I sit with that thought. And then particularly, I think the thing that she does that's so valuable is she talks so openly on her stories about her own issues with body image, the things that have driven her to do certain things. And she is very open about Botox or plastic surgery, whatever she's had done. You know, she doesn't keep anything a secret. And I think that's really important, because you can't get away from the feelings that I was feeling. Like, I don't think that it's human nature to instinctively compare yourself sometimes or have these thoughts. So it's really kind of valuable then when you accept that you are probably going to have these thoughts, that the people that you're having them about can be really honest and open. So I don't know with any certainty what I think, but I really welcome the conversation. And I also think, like, let's have this one with kindness, because I think this is a really good example of sometimes when women can get quite like women on women, like catty.
Yes.
And surgery can get kind of, people get very passionately,
I was about to say this,
for or against.
Yeah.
And I think we need to remember to just lead with love. And Soph's a really great girl and we absolutely love her. And I thought what she said was really cool. And she's a great follower. She's also one of the smartest people I follow online. Like her stories, I just absolutely love her. So yeah, I'm really excited for this episode and I hope everyone enjoys it.
Enjoy the episode. Here is Sophie.
Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries.
We're both really excited to have you on. I can't believe we've never met before. Like, I've followed you for years.
I know.
For ages and ages. I feel like we've spoken over DM for ages and ages.
Yeah.
But never met you. But I love following you on Instagram. You're one of my favourite people to follow.
Oh my God, thanks.
No, I mean it. I do.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay. We actually did talk about this. So this isn't just like us blowing smoke at your ass. We mean it.
Because what I really like is, I mean, and I don't know how to say this without like offending like typical fashion influencers, but a lot of the time, and I don't actually mean this with offense, and I know like every time you say no offense, it's always like offense, but a lot of fashion influencers, I love what they do, but a lot of it is quite like aspirational and very curated and not necessarily some of the more accessible stuff. And that's what I love that you do, because like you actually offer a glimpse into your entire life, like the good bits, the bad bits. And a lot of that is to do with like body image as well. And I was saying to Em before you came here, I was like, what I find super interesting and unique about what you talk about with body image is that loads of us, like myself included, it's like we talk about like our journey, like body image journey, like it's always in the past tense, like it was so bad and this happened and that happened and da da da, but like now I'm fine. And you rarely actually hear or see someone online talking about having bad body image in the moment and like being super transparent with it. And you do that a lot. You're like super honest with it, which is what I love and I imagine is so helpful for so many people.
I feel like I'm so honest with so many things that often it's possibly to my detriment sometimes, because I worry that by being so honest about these things, I possibly have a negative impact on some people, and people will look at me and be like, why has she? Because, you know, I mean, I'm a size like 8 to 10 a lot of the time, and I just feel that people will look at me and be like, why would you have an issue with your body image? But then other people look at me and they're like, oh yeah, I can see why you have an issue with your body image. And it's crazy because all these people's opinions around there, it's really hard to block them out and also focus on your own opinion, especially when your own opinion's skewed. So I always worry, I'm like, if by talking about it, am I gonna make other people feel worse? But then in general, whenever I've spoken about it and being really open and honest, people have just been so, in general, very kind, and also like, oh my god, it feels so like nice to hear someone explain these things or say something that I recognize. And you know, I feel that I don't have a right to be upset about my body or feel uncomfortable about my body because there's nothing, like in quotation marks, wrong with my body. But like, you know, you talking about it makes me feel like I can have these issues as well. And it's like, we don't want to have issues, but I just feel like sometimes owning it, for me, it kind of probably comes more of a place out of like desperation and actually just panicking in the moment and being like, I'm having a really hard time, so I want you to know that I'm having a hard time and life is not easy breezy and perfect all the time. Like, there is this like amazing side of my life, but then there's also this flipped reality, and this is how I see things and how I live my life. So yeah.
And it's so true. I mean, because anybody in this space, this body image space, and who talks about body image and knows about body image, is that they know that it's in the mind. It's a problem in the mind. It's not a problem with the body. So if we tell people who are a certain size, who are slim or take a size 8, 10, 12, whatever, if we say that those people can't have body image issues, and at the same time we're saying that it's in the mind, that it's a mind problem, not a body problem, like there's a huge, discrepancy. Oh, absolutely. There.
No, completely. And I think that's the thing. I think everyone wants to put everything neatly in a box. And this is this issue that I find happens with women a lot. It happens in the influencer industry. Everyone's like, oh, you must tick a certain box to be able to identify as this or have this as a problem in your life or this be your niche. But actually, it's like, that's so reductive. I mean, I had my boobs done when I was a lot younger than I am now. And I never told anyone about it because I didn't even have an Instagram account. So for me, I was like, this is kind of not relevant to anything. When I did eventually come out and say, oh yeah, like I had my boobs done years ago, because people would not stop asking me, and it got to a point where I was like, I felt like I was either withholding the truth or lying by just ignoring their questions. So after I said that, people were just like, oh well, how can you even have anything to say about body image or even be a voice about, like, you know, dealing with body image when you've had surgery? And I'm like, well, isn't that like, doesn't that kind of go hand in hand? Like, I had surgery because I had an issue with my body image. So actually, like, I do deserve a seat at this table to have this like discussion, because, you know, this is something that's directly affected me so much that I went and changed my body. So it's really weird, but people think that, oh, you can only talk about it if you're like this person who's all embracing of their flaws and everything like that, rather than someone who's gone out and changed something. And it's crazy. It's like, it's not as simple as that. Nothing is as simple as that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's really weird. It's like, I even find it fascinating how much you are asked and how much like there was speculation about it in the first place, because it's like, what does that information give to anybody else? It's like, it's completely irrelevant. Weird. It's really weird.
Completely. I know. I find it really frustrating, because I was like, it was something that was very personal to me, and I did it when I was younger. And also, like, it was something that my parents, they were like, we don't want you to tell people because we don't want people to judge us for allowing you to do that at that age. Like, realistically, I was still old enough to make my own decisions.
How old were you?
Turning 21. So I was still really young, because I had like this thing called, I don't know the exact like medical term for it, but it was like, they called it a depressed chest, and it's where your chest wall goes in. So my boobs, like, not only did I have like one boob way bigger than the other, they also sat inwards inside my chest. So they looked, it was, they were not like, I wouldn't say they looked deformed, but they certainly were like more, it was more than just like a, I don't really like my boobs, I want big boobs. It was just like, I just want to look and feel a bit more normal in my body. That's all I wanted. And I don't regret it at all. And I know people will probably judge me for saying that because I had a surgery so young, being like, oh, like, you know, you should have waited till you're older. Maybe I should have done, but also I don't regret it because it gave me so much confidence. And I was at university at the time, and the girls that I was living with, a few of them were quite anti-cosmetic surgery. And when they found out I was having it, they didn't really say anything, but then afterwards they, like, you know, when you're all drunk at pre-drinks, they're like, so, like, you've really changed my mind about surgery. Like, I have seen you go from this really insecure, cover your body up kind of person to this incredibly confident, like, young woman, and seeing you, this change in you and how happy you are in yourself. They were like, I can't even put it in words. Like, it's amazing. And, like, that's really changed my mind on surgery. And I was just like, that's, you know, that was really awesome to hear, like, to, because it's I feel like, once again, it's one of these things that I'm such a fence sitter when it comes to situations. I can kind of always see things from all angles and different points of views, and it's like, oh, like, I agree with that and I agree with that. Because, so yeah, it's a weird one. I know that that's it, like, cosmetic surgery is such a contentious subject and a lot of people have a lot of opinions on it. And yeah, so I think that when I kind of came out and was like, oh yeah, I'd had my boobs done when I was younger, and people were like, well, you can't talk about body image then. And I'm like, but why? Like, come on. It's just crazy. Like, you can't, also you can't tell people what they can and can't talk about.
So, or what they kind of can't do with their body.
Right.
Yeah, I know, right? And I felt, because this was a thing, because I have this, I'm a very, like, pro, get the surgery, like, get surgery if you want it. There's loads of, it's that very baseline, very, that's what I kind of feel in general. But there's also loads of kind of caveats to that. But my main thing when it comes to people with platforms having surgery, people always say, like, do you think that influencers and celebrities should disclose the surgery that they've had? And I personally don't think that they should. Like, imagine everyone having to post a disclaimer being like, boobs fake, like, nose fake, like, you know, that kind of thing on every single picture. However, I do feel, and also then that, once again, that's also policing women's bodies, like, it really is. But then, yeah, I think when people are selling products off the back of a surgery, mm, now that's when things are really not right. And I don't know how that would ever be sort of kind of like watched. But say, for example, like, I've worked with loads of underwear brands in my time as an influencer, but every single time I had a campaign and they were like, we want you to talk about how supportive this bra is, I always said, no, I can't talk about how supportive it is. And this is before I'd even told anyone I had, like, publicly that my boobs weren't real. I was like, I can't say that I wear this bra's really supportive because my boobs aren't real. And that for me is false advertising. Yeah. Like, I can't be like, hey, I'm an F cup and this bra's so supportive, but actually my boobs are fake. Like, I can't, that's just false advertising. So I will not do that. And they've always been really great, like, about it, being like, okay, cool, we'll go down a different angle. And even when it comes to lingerie brands wanting to work with me on things, I always said that straight up as well, being like, just want to let you know that my boobs aren't real. Do you still want to work with me? Because they might want to obviously work with someone who's got like a more natural figure, and that's fine. Like, you know, it's going to show the product off probably best to its ability if that's what they're really focused on. So yeah, I think when things get to a point where people are selling products off their enhancements, like people who've had BBLs and then they're like promoting their glute guides and things like that, that to me, I'm like, yeah, that's really crossing a line. That's crossing a moral line, really, to me.
Yeah, agree. And I agree with you as well that, like, influencers, like, nobody should have to declare their surgery or anything they've had done. But you made the decision with yours, and subsequently you had your nose done, right? And talked about it online.
Yeah.
God, I felt so sorry. You had that the same time as I had my jaw done. And we were just like lying.
Oh my God.
We were
just
lying, like, not thriving.
Yours was like way more. My sister had that surgery that you had, but she had it years ago. And yeah, it was very, very different to kind of like how I think they're a lot more surgically advanced with what they did to you now compared to what they did to my sister. Also, they messed hers up and she had to have a second surgery as well. Oh, did you? I didn't know you had a second. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Another little screw hanging out down here.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, it's like, so, but then, yeah, nose job was very self-inflicted.
Yeah. No. My mum always says it doesn't matter how you got hurt. The fact is you got hurt. She says it whenever you've got a hangover, she's like, it doesn't matter how you got sick. The fact is you're sick now. And you know.
Oh my God. My mum's opposite. If I'm like, I'm really sick, she's like, did you drink last night? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, well, it's your own fault. But then again, my mum's also a Virgo, so it kind of all makes sense.
Sorry, I interrupted you. But your nose, like, that, because like, you've got your black eyes. I just remember feeling perverse solidarity. I was like, oh, it's not just me.
I was so nervous. And the same, because I had my... So I'm sorry, it makes me laugh. I don't know why, because it's such like a niche surgery. I just laugh when I say it. But I had my hairline surgically lowered two months. I have been fascinated by this.
So have I. It looks so good.
It looks so cute.
But I just don't, and I will get back to like the question that I want to ask, but like I don't get how they do it.
So for hairline lowering surgery, it's very common in people who are getting facial feminization surgery. So when people are going through their transitioning and having that surgery, it's apparently like very, very common in that area. So yeah, basically they cut your underneath your hairline. And obviously my forehead was 3 centimeters bigger than what it is now. And then they basically cut it, remove a bit of skin, and then sort of like shift your scalp sort of like downwards and then stitch it back up. So like you have to, if you like grab your head and go like that, like your head will like, you're gonna
wait,
see, you guys don't have much movement. Yeah, you've got quite a bit of movement, so you might be, you would maybe if you ever wanted it,
because I've got a massive forehead also. I used but to like you, for my big forehead in
yeah
school.
you don't have much movement in your scalp, so you wouldn't be a very I don't think you'd be a very good candidate for it, for example. So there's things like that come into it, whereas I went like that, oh my god, my whole hair was like
it's like wearing a wig.
I was just like so they were like, yeah, you'd be a perfect candidate for it because you've got loads of space to pull your hairline down without like causing like any real like stretching
Does
or anything
lift
like
your
that
eyebrows up?
No, but oh, I did geez. I had so ah oh, so when
so
I had
I would
the,
be sold yeah. if I could have my hair if it brought my hair down and
so
my eyebrows
I had a brow lift done at the same time because I had remember I had that awful not the fox eye thread lift I had but I had thread lift to lift my eyebrows and I had loads of complications from it and so I had the threads removed from that and then I had my brows surgically lifted because they all went in with the same incision and that way I was because I was like you know what they're doing the incision for the hairline lowering, they may as well just remove the threads that had been causing me so much pain and also just lift my brows as well. So yeah, they just did it all in one. And it was a really good experience for me, but it was, you know, both that and my nose job, I was so nervous about getting it done. And not necessarily because I was like, what if it goes wrong? Like that was probably about 10% of my worry.
Right.
The 90% was, what are people going to think about me? Yeah. Are people going to judge me? Like, you know, like, because I know people judge and I know people like, a lot of people don't like surgery and it was really frustrating and I nearly dropped out of having my forehead done like probably maybe a week before because I was so worried about telling people about it and like talking about it online because it's my face. I can't hide my face. I can't after, you know, I always make a joke about my forehead being big and then I couldn't suddenly just like, you know, a few weeks later come back and it'd be smaller and people are like, you look different. And I'm like, I have no idea why. I I'm not that kind of person. I'm so open and honest about things online. Like I talk about everything. I talk about like, you know, thrush for God's sake, probably at least every week. Like I'm just very open and honest about these things that it would make no sense for me to not say anything about it. And I just felt like I would be duping my followers. Like, I do still like think like, maybe in future if I decided to have surgery, would I tell everyone about it? I don't know. It depends where I'm at, like mentally in my life. But at the time I was like, no, it feels like it's the right thing to do for both that and my nose job. But I dealt with it in two very different ways. When I had my nose done, I kind of went through this whole like, I had kind of approached it with this really apologetic, I've done something wrong, I really hope you don't judge me sort of approach to it. And I remember I didn't tell anyone really, I'd only told a few people I was gonna get it done. And then after the surgery, after I'd seen like my picture, my before and after picture on the operating table and was like, yeah, that looks good now. I feel happy. And I went and posted about it on Instagram. And I wrote like this page screenshot long notes about like, you know, why I decided to have the surgery and like how I'd been having nose filler for years and how it's been one of my biggest insecurities and blah, 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 blah. Just justifying my action because I was so worried about all the judgment that I would get. And the fact that I sort of approached it in that way, it was almost like it was like I'd done something wrong. It was like I was asking for like forgiveness for making this decision about my body. And at the time that felt like the right way to deal with it, like 1,000,000%. But then when I did my forehead, I was just thought about it and I was like, I don't want to take the whole apologetic approach again. Like, it is my body and like, it's my face, it's my body. Like, I am being open and honest. Some people are not going to like this. Some people will maybe just be indifferent to it. Some people are going to judge me. Some people are going to respect me for it. It is what it is. Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to own it and be like, so this is what I've done. And this is why I've done it. And you can have your opinions on it, but this is what's happened. And I'm going to be honest with you and I'm not going to lie about it. And I felt so much more empowered in doing that because I felt like I hadn't set myself up on the back foot of being like, oh my God, people are going to come for me. I just kind of just was like, whatever, I'm just going to go with it. So yeah, it's scary.
How did people react? What was the difference both times?
Both times... it's actually been really, I think I only remember having maybe one or two semi-negative messages about my nose. And that was more like, oh, what? It wasn't like a, oh, you look terrible. It was a, oh, why did you do that? You were fine the way you were. Like, oh, or like, you know, like your features were what made you unique. And now, like, now you just seem to look like everyone else. And this is something that I know, like, it's a very, very difficult thing. And I know that this is maybe gonna like get me in shit for saying it. But if you ever, if you have a feature that, like, I'm a 30-year-old woman. I'm old enough to make my decisions for myself now. And I feel that if you've got a feature that people are like, oh, but it makes you unique and stand out. A lot of the time that feature was probably something that that person got bullied for. Like, my nose was something I got bullied for in school. So I didn't want a nose that stood out. I wanted to look like everyone else. I wanted like a nose, well, I wanted to look like me. I said to my surgeon, I was like, I want this to be really like natural. I don't want a crazy big difference. I just want to look like, I just want the bump to be gone. And you know, that's the thing. I think people just think that by saying, oh, but you're, it's your things that make you unique. And I don't disagree with that. But also I think even though that's so well-intended and I look at people and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, she looks really quirky or she looks like this. That's beautiful. It's so different. That's not how they feel in themselves. No. And so when you hear that, it kind of really does fall flat a lot of the time because you're like, well, that's great, but that's not how I feel in myself.
Also, that doesn't feel that well intended to me because on a very basic level, to say to someone, once they've had surgery that is permanent surgery that they can't go back on,
yes,
it's not like having filler in your nose that you can dissolve.
Yes.
Like, you've just had surgery. So then to go and say to them, oh, well, actually, but that was what made you unique and now it's gone. Like, why are you saying that? That's
something
they can do now. So like, think that, but keep it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. What does that saying? It's something like, you shouldn't comment on the way someone looks unless they can change it in 5 minutes or something. So for example, like, I'm sitting here and I've got something in my teeth and you're like, babe, girl, that something in your teeth that you can fix really easily. Whereas if you're like, babe, like, you know, your nose looks like shit. Like, I don't know, something like that. Like, it's something that you can't change or like immediately. If you can't change something within 5 minutes, don't bother commenting on it. That's the way that I see it. But in general, like, it's the response was really, really overwhelmingly positive. And I think for me, like, obviously I've been a full-time influencer for a long time now. And my main concern about having surgery and talking about it, I remember telling my agent, and who's a very good friend of mine, I was like, I'm not gonna tell anyone about my nose job. I was, I'm not gonna tell anyone. I'm just gonna like pre-record content and just post it. And then I was just not gonna say anything and then it will be fine. And she was like, I just think that you should own it. I don't think that you should keep your followers in the dark about it. Like, I just don't, people will ask you questions at the end of the day anyway. And I said, my main concern about talking about having cosmetic enhancements is that it's going to create insecurities in other girls that didn't necessarily have it before, and then encourage them to go out and get the surgery. And like, my agent was like, look, you might create an insecurity in someone else, but also you existing may be creating insecurities in other people. And she was like, the only people you're going to really encourage to go out and spend a lot of money on a nose job are people who have been considering it for a while anyway.
And say that. My best friend DM'd you on Instagram to ask about your nose job because she wants one so badly and she loves your nose so much.
Yeah.
And it's actually really empowering for
her.
Yeah. Because I think that's the other thing is, for a lot of people, it's really in the dark. And it's like, no one just wakes up one morning and it's like, oh, I just want this like huge surgery on my face.
Yeah.
Because someone on Instagram, you know, like, has it.
Exactly.
You do it because you've got your own private relationship with your own appearance.
Yeah.
And I think, like, even before what you're saying, like, that comment about, like, people saying, oh, it's what made you unique and stuff. I actually think the comments about people's face, and I only have it because I haven't had anything. I mean, I get me Botox, like it's time, but I haven't had anything in my face before. But my face surgery, the surgery that I had, which broke my jaw, I ended up after that with like, and I didn't diagnose, I'm diagnosing it myself with like, I don't think it exists. I don't know, but face dysmorphia.
No, I think it, I feel like it does exist. And if it doesn't, it should, because yeah. I remember the way that you spoke about what you went through after that. I could really feel that from you, yeah. because, yeah. you know, I can, so many people, I think because my sister, when she had that surgery, her face changed a lot and it was hard for her too. I mean, my sister has special needs, so it's kind of different in that respect, but it was very difficult for her. Yeah. So seeing you go through that was, you know, it was hard. But it was hard to watch.
It's one and the same, you know, it's even like, I didn't choose this surgery, but you know, it's my mum's argument again about the hangover, like it doesn't matter how you get there. The fact is, it's a really personal thing to change your body or to have your body change in any way. And I think people's comments are really interesting. Like, I didn't want to be told that I look better before or better afterwards, because I'm like, and if anything, tell me I look better afterwards, because that's yeah. good for morale.
Yeah.
But when people are like, oh, I really liked how you looked before, and I'm like, right, why, but I couldn't breathe that? Before.
Yeah,
so, like,
exactly.
It's this face or nothing.
Yeah.
Do people really say that?
Yeah,
that's awful. Like, also, I'm sorry, that really annoys me. I hate that. Like, my favourite comments are when people say, gorgeous before, gorgeous after, always gorgeous. And you're like, yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, and maybe it's well-intentioned, and I don't know what it is, but I think people are like, instinctively, whenever, and I think it is like a woman thing of like trying to make somebody feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
And they just like put this like massive, like misguided band-aid on something to be like, but you were so pretty. And it's just like,
no, I feel like irrelevant. saying that you were better before, or you looked so pretty before, and you've had something done permanently to change yourself, that is never a positive thing. That is one of those like veiled like negs.
I honestly don't
believe it.
Me neither.
I don't believe that's ever them trying to be. I think it's them having a bit of a dig whilst trying to come across as being nice. Like that's
100%.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I am lacking common sense, but like that is very clear to me that like, why the fuck would you say that to someone?
Yeah, I know.
I agree with you. I think it's like, it's a dig veiled as
exactly.
like, oh, but you were so pretty.
And I also think sometimes people do it. Like if you take a nose job, for example, like if you don't like your nose, it's so easy. Like if I didn't like my nose, to just be like to you, oh, well, I liked it better before, or you look great before, because that makes me feel better about my bad
oh
nose.
My god, this, so my friend, she had a boob job, and she'd been really insecure. She's 30 as well, and she finally made the decision this year to do it, and she got like so much shit from girls who were like, I always looked up to you because you were part of the itty bitty titty committee, and now you've like left and joined all these other girls and blah 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 blah, and like, you know, it's just really disappointing, and you know, I just feel really sad that you decided to do that. And it's like, you know what, like it's, you're really projecting your own issues. And that's the thing. And I think, and I know full well how other people, watching other people get surgeries, can sometimes impact me. And like, you know, there's these girls that I follow on Instagram, these sisters, and I found out that they'd had BBLs, and I was always like, their bodies are like really amazing, like natural, like curves, whatever. And then I found out they'd had very, 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 very subtle BBLs. And after finding that out, I just unfollowed them, because I was just like, it's making me feel bad about myself. And I do feel like we kind of have to have a bit of responsibility as consumers to unfollow what like makes us feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I knew that when, I mean, I lost followers when I came out about my surgeries, like both times. And I think even when I said, I mentioned about my boobs, I think I lost followers. And I always knew that is something that's going to happen, because people are either going to be like, I don't agree with what you've done, I don't agree with surgery, or that's made me feel a certain way about myself. And I don't like that, so I'm gonna unfollow you. And that's so fine.
That's
the
great.
Best thing.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, go unfollow. Completely. Like you've spotted your own like boundaries, your triggers, whatever. Like go.
Yeah.
But what makes me laugh about your friend is like the audacity of some people to just think that like this woman owes me her appearance. Like,
yeah, I know.
Did you not know that you made me feel better? So now you've done something and it makes me feel worse. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah. It's like, completely agree. I know,
it's crazy.
It's really weird, because I think it's like it's something it is always such a difficult subject to kind of like work out like what's the right thing and what's the best approach to kind of go down as someone with a platform. And for me, I was just like, leading up to my surgery with my hairline, I was like, I have got three options. It's like, I either own it and I just tell everyone and just like post about it and then I just move on. Either I don't tell anyone and I keep it a secret and people then might ask me, you look different. What have you done? Why is your forehead smaller? Oh my God, are you wearing like a little like baby wig or something like that? Like, what are you doing? And then I have to then be either ignore them or lie or tell them the truth and then the truth gets out anyway. Or the third thing, I don't get the surgery, even though that's what I really want to do for myself. And I don't get the surgery because I'm worried about the impact it has on other people and worried about maybe having to lie to others about it. But then I'm not living my life for me. I'm living my life for other people. And I think that's one thing that people do need to kind of understand as well, that you've got to do what's best for you, by you. And that's, yeah, I think that's kind of like, it was like, for me, it was a no-brainer. Like those three options, it was a no-brainer which one I was going to pick. So, yeah.
It's really weird because like you were saying before, like sitting on the fence, because I don't think I do sit on the fence in that I think everybody should have cosmetic surgery if they want it. Because if it makes you feel good, if anything makes you feel good, then, and you're not harming anyone else, then do it. But then I also think about like the Love Islanders and how they've all had enhancements and like, and how they're becoming so commonplace and people are getting them so young. And I can't balance, and I'm not asking you to balance because it's not your job to answer it, but I always, I that's where I like, I can't quite like make my things, make the two things true.
Yeah.
That will work.
Does yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It's but then I think this is the thing. I think it's because it's such an incredibly nuanced like conversation, and there absolutely is no like black and white with it. And I feel like it's okay to feel like, oh, this might feel a bit uncomfortable. Like, for example, there's certain surgeries that I don't think are really like exactly good ones. Like, you know, for example, you know, people who get the like fox eye thread lift or the like, you know, eyebrow lifts to make them look more exotic when they're, you know, like a very typical like white Western person. Mm. That for me seems like they're kind of tapping in to look like more exotic in another culture, and I don't think that's really right. Whereas it, like, same for people who get really dramatic BBLs to look a certain way. Mm. And it's like, you're kind of like appropriating black culture and profiting off that, like kind of like the Kardashians, I guess, and that's a whole different kind of topic. And it's just, I don't know, like, it's, but then I also then think that if you want to have a surgery and like it's going to make you feel so much better about yourself, then you know, then do it. And it's such a complex issue, and I think that I do feel that everyone who gets surgery should be offered therapy first. And with my nose and my forehead, I was offered therapy as well. It's kind of like as a standard. But when I had my boobs done, I don't know if it was just because I went to my GP about it first, being like, I'm really insecure and like it's really getting me down and like my chest looks like this and blah blah blah. I was never offered like therapy in any way, was never put on a wait list to talk about to a counselor, whereas now I think had I done that, I probably would have been, because like talking about the mental health aspect of it all wasn't a thing back then. Like, it really kind of wasn't. This was 10 years ago, so it wasn't really a thing. But I think now there are those options to at least help support you. And I think if you're going to go down the surgery route, you have to be incredibly aware. I think you need to be very aware of the things that are at play with, why do I want this surgery? Am I doing this for me? Is it safe? All these things. There are so many things. And I these are questions that I would ask myself endlessly. And, you know, I definitely consider myself a feminist. But when I was having my nose job, I was Googling endlessly, am I a bad feminist for having a nose job? Because I was just like, am I? And the kind of conclusion that I came to was that like we live in this like patriarchal society where we have these beauty standards set by the patriarchy that are essentially upheld by people who adhere to the beauty standards, like myself. Like, I do unfortunately feed into that and help like hold that up. But you've also then got to take yourself into it and look at it on a personal level and how these things affect you. And the way I saw it was, I was like, okay, what's worse? I choose not to have this nose job, which I know is going to make me very happy, because I want to say a big fuck you to the patriarchy and, you know, beauty standards. And then I go to spend the rest of my life being like, I hate my nose, like, you know, just to, as a middle finger to the patriarchy. Or do I say, okay, I understand that by having this surgery, I'm kind of playing into these beauty standards set by the patriarchy, but instead of being unhappy and not getting this surgery, I'm just gonna own it and have the surgery anyway. Like, what's a bigger fuck you to the patriarchy? Actually sitting there and being unhappy with my nose for the rest of my life, or having the surgery and being like, yes, I'm really glad I changed this because it's actually changed my life. It makes me feel really confident. What's the lesser of two evils there? And I think it was going down the surgery route. And I think it's always just such a personal decision. Like, I feel always so passionate about it because it's just something that I think people just need to talk more openly about what their insecurities are, whether it's to their friends or whether it's to like partners or doctors, therapists, whatever. I think they need to be more open about like their insecurities and then what, and tap into why they want to change them. And also, like, for me, these insecurities were things that were very like, I had them for a long, long, long time. It wasn't just like a surgery, a trend surgery. It's not like I was just hopping on getting a permanent change for the sake of a trend. It was always something that had affected my like, sort of like the way I looked at myself for a long time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you know the expression, chopping off your nose to spite your face? Because that feels really appropriate.
It's so true.
My mum's really coming through me in this episode. I'm like, all of her expressions.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like you cut off your nose to spite your face. Yeah, like that's kind of, yeah. So it's a tough
one. I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about that tension between knowing that you want to change something in order to look more like the standard of beauty, and at the same time, wanting to like give the middle finger fuck you to that standard of beauty. And I guess this is like what it's sad that we even have to think about this.
It is.
It's sad that this has to be like
they just go and get it. They just go and get it.
Right.
They wouldn't have to think about the politicization of their nose. They'd just go out and fix it.
I have to think,
nose.
Am I still a feminist? Yeah. Like it's, yeah.
Sitting on Google at like 1 a.m, feeling guilty. Am I still a feminist if I want a nose job? Like, yeah.
But I really like that, even in terms of like how you work. Sorry to interrupt you. Even in terms of like everything that you do online, because, and I say this with all love because, you know, I admire you loads, but I think you're such a contradiction in terms of what society says that influencers are and what people who are into Chanel are, and like, and people who like just are even attractive, to then like be also with a brain and a political stance and big opinions and whatever. And it's like, it feels like it's what you were saying before about the box, because it's like you're on Instagram kind of on your grid, you're like fashion, and a lot of people would just leave that and be like, oh well, she talks about clothes, so there's probably nothing to her. And then your stories are so thought-provoking and thoughtful and like interesting, and it's like that's really fun, because that just feels in itself like a fuck you to someone.
I love that about what I do. And I remember when I was studying my master's degree, my tutor was like, people are always going to overlook you. He was like, people will always overlook you. They'll take one look at you and think that you're just a little bit of a bimbo, but he was like, you have so much to offer, and you'll spend the rest of your life proving like yourself
to
people.
Instagram's Elwood.
I love that film so much, and I always watch it, and I'm like, I really personally relate to this.
But you see, it was
a Virgo. But I do. I think it's, and I just think that we are very, I think especially like it's social media, on Instagram, on TikTok, wherever, we're very, very quick to judge people. And I think a lot of judgment that we have of others often comes like, actually, it's a reflection of the judgments that we have for ourselves a lot of the time. And I think if we could just like maybe whenever, every time we judge someone, and I mean, I still judge people all the time, but then I actually like actively question myself and I'm like, why am I judging this person? What have they really done? Why has this provoked something in me that's made me feel uncomfortable? And perhaps this is years of being in therapy, which has made me do this, but it's kind of like the self-awareness that I have. And I always try and like reckon with these feelings when I have it. And I feel that like, obviously not everyone does that, because I get like comments and messages and things all the time where people either just haven't really thought about what they're saying, or they simply don't care and they just want to be a troll. Like TikTok, for example. TikTok's so weird. So like nice. TikTok is such a different place. Like it's so weird.
Savage.
It's like, it's savage, but also at the same time, like I don't take things as personally over there, which is really weird. So
it feels like they don't know you.
Exactly. Like, it's because they're judging you based on a 7-second video. It's like, so I feel that when someone sends a message to an Instagram story, like a really long message, and like, I know that obviously you guys know this all too well. When you get an Instagram, like a response, and someone's sending this whole like character assassination, and there's someone who's like, I used to follow you and I loved following you and blah, blah, blah. Now I think this, it makes you really think, oh my God, shit. Like, are they, is there something right in that? Whereas if someone just says, oh, like you're a stupid slut on like a TikTok video, on you're a 7-second cool. TikTok video, it's like cool, okay,
cool bro.
Yeah, I know, like I find it easier to not take things as seriously on there. So it's very weird. I always feel like also like all my content I've ever posted around surgery over on TikTok goes viral, whereas I can like kind of, if I speak about it on Instagram, I feel like I can make a joke of it on TikTok more and just like have fun with it and laugh about it and own it more, because weirdly enough it's a safer space to just be like, whatever, this is what I've done. Whereas I do feel like on Instagram, speaking about this kind of thing feels very politicized, and people are more likely to pull at what you've said and things like that. And it can be a bit of a weird one to navigate, but at least that's kind of like, that's why I probably posted more about it on TikTok, because I was like, it feels like weirdly
your
a safer
TikTok
space
ones
for
were
it.
So funny though, when you drew your own hairline.
I know.
It's like she's lost it.
I know,
she's
that was it. I was in quarantine for 10 days in Jakarta, and I was so bored that I drew on my dream hairline using a Refi brow pencil, and I even like drew the parting on it and everything, and I was like, I know this looks really stupid, but actually if this was my own hairline it would look really good. And I looked at that video the other day and I was like, wow, that actually is my hairline now. Yeah. I kind of manifested it. So yeah, but I don't know, I think it's for me the whole topic of like surgery and everything, the responsibility that I feel that I have. And I know people look at me like, they're like, oh, you're like, I follow you because you're authentic and you're honest and open. And then there is that big contradiction that obviously surgery is seen as being this big fake
but
thing.
You are very honest and open about it. Yeah. Like you had the
thread lift.
And you hated it.
It was the worst thing
and
ever.
And you shared
ridiculous.
It so honestly, that was so important to see. And I think like a lot of the comments that come in the direction of people who have surgery or like, and it's really like loath to use ridiculously simplistic terms, but like I think it can be frustrating for people to see a woman have it all, and there is something brave about going out and changing your face and changing this and changing that, because it's like a lot of people have insecurities and feel a certain way about things, but they don't do anything about it. There's some things that maybe I think that I'd want, right? And for a plethora of reasons, I just won't do it. I'm kind of lazy. I think I'd be scared. I'd be scared of all the reasons that you said. I'd be scared to do it on Instagram. I'd be just scared. And I probably wouldn't be fucked and I just wouldn't do it. So I'm going to sit in that negative. Well, I'm going to sit in a space of being like, oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And it would have been really easy for me then to look at somebody else. And you do have. I love following you on Instagram because I feel like you just, what you want, you do. And it's a really quick thing of like, I love this. I'm going to buy it and I'm going to wear it and I'm going to look great. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to look great and I'm going to do this. And you just do things. You're just a doer. You're just one of life's doers.
I am a doer. It's a Virgo trait, you know.
Yeah, I know. You both do shit all the time. But I just like, I don't do
impulsive.
Things the
I'm
same
impulsive.
Way. Yeah, but it's great. It's so fun. And I don't. I sit on things for like my life. And
yeah.
Then I'll go, I don't know, I'll go for Botox and then I'll be like, oh, you're 72 years late. Like, you should have come in your 20s.
You're on your deathbed.
Yeah, you're like, I think it's time now to do something thing about these wrinkles.
And I just never will do it. But I think like that's the thing. I think a lot of people sit and whether that's a right feeling or not. Like, I think a lot of us have it, where it is brave to go and do that stuff. But we also feel like women can't have it all. And I think when you go out and you're already a beautiful person, you go make yourself more societally attractive, but then you also have a brain and you also earn your own money. It can be really jarring for people to watch it and be like, she doesn't need all of this. She's smart, she's bright, she's got a nice house, she's got a nice this. She doesn't need to go and look prettier. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where a lot of people's internalized stuff comes from.
I have a question for you guys. Do you think that British people tend to be quite salty towards people going out and improving themselves?
Yes, we're crabs. Yeah. You said that.
I was just about to say the crab mentality.
The crab bucket.
Yeah.
And they call it tall poppy syndrome in Australia. Like you cut down the tallest poppy or something.
If you've got a bucket full of crabs and one crab has got out and he's like climbed to the top and he's holding the edge, the other crabs in the bucket will pull him back down again because the crabs don't want to see. Look at me as a cancer.
You're like
the crabs are my people. I'm like get back down here with me bits rotting together. They'd sooner kill their friends so that he can die and be miserable with them.
Yeah, exactly.
That is British.
It is. It really is. And I think that I've got quite a few friends in America, and they're like, oh yeah, if they want a surgery, they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go out and get this done, or like, oh, like I'm gonna have this treatment and I'm gonna try this, and oh, I really don't like this, so I'm gonna go out and get lipo, and I'm like, oh my god, like what? And like, oh, I don't like my boobs, I'm gonna get them done like lifted and done smaller, whatever. Like, and they just kind of own it, and that's just how it is. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, would society be better if we were more like that, or would it be worse? But either way, I do think that we have in the UK, we have a bit of an issue with people going out there and bettering themselves. Like, even if it's anything, like anything aesthetically, anything when it comes to finances. Like when I posted about the other day about how I had a meeting with a mortgage advisor, I lost loads of followers because people were like, what? I thought that you were always going to rent. You said that you were always going to be generation rent, and you were happy renting. Like, why have you changed on us? And I was just like, oh, because I'm planning on, I don't know, like my life has changed a bit, and I have decided that maybe it's the best option. I haven't said I'm definitely going to do it, and I lost loads of followers that day. I was like, oh wow. And people, I think people do have an issue with seeing people better themselves in whatever way that is. But then also at the same time, the flip side of this, they have every single right, like we were saying, they have every single right to unfollow the things and the people that don't serve them. Mm. But I think doing that is fine, but we always have to be a bit more introspective than that and kind of look within and be like, why has this made me feel uncomfortable? Yeah. Like, yeah, I think that's something that we've kind of always got to do, and I don't think British people are very good at doing that. No. I'm gonna get like hunted out of this country with like torches and pitchforks after this.
But I do think this is like about trigger warnings and content warnings and stuff like this. Like, we have so many of them nowadays. Like, everything we look at is like trigger warning, content warning, and okay, I'm opening an absolute can of worms here. This is a really, really
if you get us cancelled,
really,
I'm gonna be
topic.
Furious. But we're onto a good thing here.
And I do think you have to be careful with your triggers, and you definitely have to manage your triggers. Mm-hmm. But also, I think being introspective and maybe having a bit of like a reflection on like, why is this triggering me? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it's different for...
I got shit last night for talking about tonsil stones without putting a trigger warning up.
No.
I said that I always get acid reflux, so I'm often like sick in the middle of the night, and I said I was sick in the middle of the night, and I got so many people and I can't remember what the phobia is.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't, if I do this, if I go down this road, I will put a trigger warning on
everything.
At the end of the day, you have to go into the world and like manage your own triggers.
What do you do when you go out and watch a film at the cinema and someone's sick, like in the film, like, you know, that's, it's part of the movie, and you can't expect that.
It's your responsibility.
Yeah, and it is. And this is because there's a surgeon that I follow who's based in America, and he did Marc Jacobs facelift, and it was amazing. And I shared one of his before and afters, and I was like, this surgeon is a magician, wow. And he's like, and basically this girl like sent me a message, and it was actually really sad because she's been a really long time follower of mine, and she was like, hey babe, like I just want to let you know, this, I found this, like, I found, she's like, you shared this profile of this picture, this before and after of this surgeon. And I ended up clicking on his page and going down a black hole, looking at all these before and afters. And as somebody who's never wanted cosmetic surgery before, I found it really triggering, and that it made me want cosmetic surgery for the first time in my life. It's made me feel really insecure about myself. So I just thought I would let you know that's how it made me feel, because it might make other people feel that way. And I was just like, I just don't think you should follow me. I speak really openly about cosmetic surgery and all of this stuff, and I just don't think I'm the right person for you, blah, 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 blah. And then she was like, oh, okay. I'd kind of hoped that you were gonna like reply saying something else and be a bit more apologetic, but don't worry about it. Like, I understand where you're coming from, and for now I'm gonna unfollow. And I was just like, okay, cool. But I was quite rattled by it. I was thinking like, why am I being held responsible for you clicking onto that Instagram account and going down a black hole of like, of, you know, I didn't make you click on it. I shared a piece of content. I didn't feel like it needed a trigger warning, you know, trigger warning before and after surgery, trigger warning, facial self-improvement. Like, what was I meant to
put? But also, yeah, when you put a trigger warning, to an extent, I understand, you know, on a mass level, let's say eating disorder,
yes,
that's great, or violence, or blood, or whatever, sexual abuse.
Yeah.
There are some things, very visceral triggers, which I completely understand. But in a case like that, it's like, what are you warning people about?
Yeah.
Because what's her exact emotion? You've got no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And might have been like seven posts deep that she got triggered.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because she said she went down a black hole. Yeah. She's like, I clicked onto the page and I went down a black hole and felt
you
really triggered. So
black,
I said to her, I was like, I said to her, I do think we're grown adults here and we need to take responsibility for the way that we consume like social media and consume content online. And I think, you know, you said that you went down the black hole and you clicked through it. I was like, I didn't make you do that. You chose to do it. When people share things, before I had a nose job, right? I wanted one so badly, but I was telling myself, it's like, I was like, no, you don't want one. You're fine the way you are. You're great the way you are. Like, you know, you're all this stuff, all the self-talk, whatever. And I kept being served nose jobs on my explore feed, like loads of before and after.
Were you saying it out loud?
Yeah, probably.
My nose is amazing.
I don't need a nose job. But basically, yeah, my explore feed on Instagram was showing me all these before and afters. So I just kept going, click, not interested, not interested. I unfollowed people that went and got surgery because it made me feel bad, because I was taking responsibility for how I felt instead of being like, you're living your life in a way that I don't like and makes me feel bad. You need to change it. I was like, okay, I feel bad about this and this is making me feel like worse. I need to do something about that. Like, I don't think it's always as simple as that, because there are dickheads out there on the internet that do post like actually very toxic things, but
it's also so disempowering to then for like that girl to say, oh, but like you triggered this in me. It's like, actually, it's fully in our hand. Okay, and maybe not fully, to an extent, what we consume is our choice and in our hands and in our control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you just, it's...
Yeah, I know. It is really,
so then
really,
it's disempowering to be like, oh, you triggered, like, that triggered me. Like, you...
I know, yeah, I know. And, like, I just think there's a way, I just feel like people probably need to be maybe a little bit, some people need to be a bit more self-aware of these things. And I do, you know, I think as well, people give me shit for it, because I think they think that I'm younger than I am, and they're like, oh my god, you're too young to be having things like this. And I'm like, I'm 30, and they're like, oh, okay.
But even then, it's like says who? Too young for what? Like, yeah, we can have private opinions about you know, young people having surgery if we want,
yeah,
but at what point is it our problem? It isn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Like, you have to work that out. Like, what is this going to cause? And I think we can look at a societal problem, right? And we can look at the Kardashians, for example, and be like, okay, I said in last week's episode, I've become a stan, so like, I have to choose my words carefully. I've taken a real turn. I started watching the Kardashians.
Oh my god, really? I mean, I'm just like very on the fence. I was always on the fence, but like
no, I've basically decided that like they're victims of, I mean, which everyone's always said, like, I haven't had a revolutionary idea, but they're victims of the society that like that, yeah, they've helped to create it. But again, doesn't matter how you got there, the fact is they're still victims. So leading with empathy, I do feel I'm like very aware of their
like
yeah.
their own situation. But I think societally, you can look at them, look at perhaps what they're inspiring, what Love Island's inspiring to an extent, what Instagram's inspiring, and yeah, maybe it is creating more insecurities, and maybe as a result of that, surgery rates are rising. You know, we're hearing all the time, like, surgeons are getting photos of, like, girls with filters on their faces being like, I want to look like this filter. And yeah. I think, like, we have to independently look at a systemic and societal issue and be like, this is a problem here that we are making worse and worse. Mm. But individually, we have to accept that what other people choose to do because of this expectation and because of the societal pressure is literally nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And you can, like, tackle, you know, go into education and get girls feeling better about themselves and get it so that they're not bullied for their noses and they're not bullied for their foreheads and they're not bullied for whatever it is. So maybe they're going to grow up with more... Exactly. So you tackle that. But right now, the people that are bettering themselves within a very toxic... Society.
Yes.
And this is what we always talk about. Is like, and I say this all the time, but it's like, you can do self-love like for years and years and years and years and years, until you're blue in the face, until the cows come home, whatever. But at the end of the day, you are living in this world that doesn't reflect those values back at you. That still is telling you, okay, well, you think you're okay with yourself, but actually, you should be more this, you should be more that.
Yeah.
So you can't blame anyone. I do. It's a point of contention with the Kardashians, though, because I feel that at this point, they are fully victims of their environment and what they've been through.
Yeah.
But at this point, they are so aware of the effect that they've had, and yet they continue to perpetuate it. And I just think, come on.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I'm only on season 9, so I can't comment.
They're still, like, quite far in. That's like...
Not only in 2014, Instagram's literally brand new.
Oh my God, wow. So
it's actually really...
I didn't realise it'd been on for that long.
Yeah, so I actually was saying this in the last episode. We just recorded a minute ago, but in the last episode. Because because I've been slagging them for years, I was like, I just want to better understand
how whatever.
And it's actually really interesting watching the time of Instagram, because Kim, they've just gone on holiday, listen to me. I know everything. This is my first foray into reality TV. I'm loving it. But Kim does a selfie book for Kanye, and they rip the shit out of her for taking selfies because she'd, like, never done it before. And they're literally Chloe's sitting at dinner and it's just like, just take another selfie, Kim. Like, they're all, like, calling her vacuous and whatever. And it's just like, you have no idea what your future holds.
Oh my God, that's like, so weird. Like, what must be watching that and being like, from the future, being like,
because they're all their Blackberries originally.
They took their
Nick on camera to dinner.
No.
Every night, and when they went on their holidays, they took their Nick on camera. That was, like, how they got their pictures.
That's so funny.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
But they didn't even go on Instagram. They just went on their blogs and their Tumblrs. And then Kim made this selfie book for Kanye, and now they've just got their Instagrams. Just. And they're kidding. They're like, I'm going to Instagram this. And they're like, Kim, don't. And then that's that. And it's like, actually crazy watching the inception.
That is, that is really interesting. Wow.
And also, even watching, like, Chloe, like, and it's actually very, why do I care so much? But it's really breaking my heart, like,
no, it's bad
watching how she was and how she looks now. And it's like, but I can't see her as anything other than a victim.
They just
call her the fat sister the whole time. The other girls call it, all the media calls it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so toxic
there. It's cruel. And actually, like, I'm so with you on that, and Chloe, and, like, what she's been through, not only with the public, but, like, her family.
Yeah.
I posted something last night where she was like, Chris was saying, like, it would be great if you could stop talking about food in your interviews. And Chloe was like, okay, basically you're saying that I'm the fucking fat one that's fucking everything up. And Chris was like, not quite in those words, but, like, it was like, fuck what she's been through. But then I just, my empathy sort of wanes when it gets to Kim. And I just think at some point you have to ask, like, does she actually care?
Probably not.
I don't think she does.
But then also, take it back. Does she have to? And I know that's a really bad question.
Yeah, no, she's so true.
But then I think people should be allowed to call her out on it.
Yeah, totally.
Completely agree. Yeah. The Kardashians, they're all of them such a minefield of a thing. And also, because you know what? It's one of these things that when I posted recently about... I was actually quite drunk when I did the Instagram story. I was like, put like a question box. And I was like, half a bottle of rosé deep and I don't really drink anymore. So that for me is pretty drunk. What's like everyone's opinions on the apparent of like Kim and Chloe apparently reversing their BBLs, just to get people's opinions. And the amount of people who responded being like, who even cares? And I was just like, that's actually like, we shouldn't really care, but we do. Like, you can't ignore the fact that how much these women, like the weight that they hold in society and pop culture, you know, like you can't.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at you.
Look what's happened, guys.
You're like, I love them.
I'm tit deep. Honestly, I'm like, how has this happened? It's really weird.
You're going to be coming in wearing like Skims and you'll have like dyed your hair like long.
Did you
like,
not see what
dark.
Happened when I tried Skims? God, I got a lot of shit for that.
Oh, did you try them as well? The thing and
they just rolled down.
Yes, they. Oh, I actually had a whole highlight on my Instagram about it, but then I deleted it because like apparently it doesn't look too good to be slagging them off so much, but I had a whole lot because they just roll down and they
again.
just go up your butt and oh my god
everywhere.
They cut
me in half. I was like, the fuck is this shit? I had to pixelate when I put it on Instagram. I had to pixelate my fanny.
It was so bad. And people were like, maybe you just need a bigger size, and I was just like, they were a size medium.
Literally, people kept saying that because it hit the algorithm annoyingly. The only video of mine in the last like 6 months it's had 1 million views is this Skims thing, and they kept rolling back down. Not, I mean, maybe it's a me problem, like I'll take that out with Kim Kardashian, but all the comments were just like, we just should have got so bigger. I'm like, you're a fucking moron, but okay, thanks.
I know I feel very like strongly about her.
Yeah, but simply because April, who we work with, loves Skims, and she's like, you have to buy it. So I bought a bunch.
I've got some things from Skims and I'm like, that's great. But then these particular control pant things were just doing nothing.
Disaster.
They were just giving me like this like roll bunch underneath my outfit. And I was like, well, what's the point? And they were expensive.
I was going to say, it's really expensive, yeah. Isn't it?
I still have the two pairs.
I've never felt sadder, so do I. I've never felt sadder looking at myself in the mirror ever. I was like, fuck, I look like a mushroom. Like, it was so bad. But I also got the shorts that I wore them to my hen do, and they are completely see-through. They're like ribbed shorts to wear under
my
dress.
And
there's a photo of me flashing because I thought I had shorts on, but it went with the flash. I think you took it. And I was
oh my God.
That's an eyeful. So, as a consumer, I'm not like massively enamored, but I'm on the way.
I know.
The dresses look nice. I saw someone wearing a dress the other day.
I realized she's got dresses.
Oh,
now.
They have like really nice dresses and they do like look really good on the body, but then once again it's like this is one of the issues that like people said. They're like, was Kim Kardashian the right person to create a brand that represents, and I say this in quotation marks, every body? Was she the right person to do it? And people obviously argue, no, she's not. She's had so many surgical enhancements on her body, she definitely was not the right person to do that. But I just think that like, at the end of the day, like if anyone's gonna do it, like it's any celebrity was gonna probably maybe make that brand, they've probably had something done that we just don't know about, like
Also, do you know what, I agree with it. I just think I don't really care, like whatever she and if she actually is doing good with her brand, then great. But it does piss me off, like the campaign imagery for Skims, like she did with all those supermodels, and everyone's photoshopped to fuck.
Yeah.
Like Tyra Banks. I think even said, like, this is not my body.
That's actually a really good like difference there in like in terms of what you do. Like you have your surgeries and whatever, and so I guess people can come at you for that. But the authenticity of what you do online is beyond just the surgeries. It's like everything with the fashion. You showed the Skims with it falling down. And you don't know anybody relatable, but it's really nice. It's like we were saying right at the beginning about like traditional fashion influences, and I think like when we imagine them, same when I imagine the Kardashians, I imagine that like everything that you order arrives and everything fits and you just look really good. And you know when people do the like reels and it's like keep or return, and the ones that people return always look really nice, they just don't like the dress. Whereas I'm like, the ones I have to return like don't do up or like make me look like a bowel bun or like whatever, and it's really nice
for bowel bun.
You know what I mean? It's like question. But you talk about it so like authentically in that, and it's really nice to see like a sort of like authenticity. And I think that's what a lot of the, because you don't have to be open about everything that you do, but it does, it's very nice to watch when someone is.
My mum's like, Sophie, you really need to just not, even my therapist was like, you don't have to be this open about everything, you know. And I was like, I know, but I really overshare everything, like I don't it's almost like I'm too honest. It's just it's actually to my detriment sometimes, but like I find it hard to like hold to not tell people the truth. Like I can hold on to anyone else's gossip and drama and secrets. I will take them to the grave, but when it's my own, I'm telling everyone. I will tell everyone about anything. Like
I can't bear a half truth. Like even if I say like, oh, I got there at 1:30, and then I'll be sitting there and I'll be like,
don't know why I said that. I didn't get there at 1:30. I got there at 1.
Yeah.
And I'll like, and people are like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, I don't want, yeah, to, I don't want to be lying.
I know.
Like, I hate lying, even if it's like the most innocuous. And I don't do big life because I get, yeah, busted immediately, which is like on Instagram. Like, I just can't, I hate lying.
Yeah.
I was so nervous ahead of my surgery. I did that massive, like, I apologized. I was like, yeah, why am I apologizing for this? It's like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have my face smashed in.
I know.
Yeah, I was like really apologetic about it. It's really weird.
Yeah, I know. I think that's why, like, when people, I felt really guilty for the years that people kept being like, have you had a boob job? Have you had a boob job? And then this one girl, she messaged me being like, oh, like, babe, like, I'm trying to... really weird. She's like, oh, and just, she's like, I was trying to find out, like, whether your boobs are real or not, because, like, she's like, I've really been contemplating getting a boob job, and, like, yours look really good. And she's like, and I googled it, and I came across this forum where they were discussing it, and, like, there was no, like, real answer. And I was just like, oh, great, okay, so it's been discussed on the forums, like, you know. And it's just one of those things, and I was just like, oh my god,
why would she say
and I was
that?
Just, yeah, it was really weird. And I never had any issue telling anyone, like, straight up if they messaged me. I was just like, yeah, like, I had a boob job, whatever. So then I was like, you know what, just copy and paste that and put it in the forums, don't care. Oh, like, gosh. I don't care. But it was just more that I don't want to make a big song and dance out of it for, like, you know, whatever reason, like, that, all the reasons I had. But it's like, going back to the whole, like, aspect of kind of like body image and surgery for me, I kind of, like, I was talking to my life coach, and she was really great. And she said that I'd been, like, suffering a lot with body image issues, like, this year, like, a lot. And I think in part it was probably due to coming off my antidepressants. And she was like, oh, I would probably put, like, face and having face surgery alongside body image. And I was like, I personally wouldn't, because I don't cry over my face every day, whereas my body, I cry over my body every single day. And, like, I have, like, a really weird toxic relationship with my body. But my face, I'm like, yeah, she's great, I could make an improvement on it, but, you know, like, it's not an issue. So that's kind of why, like, for me, I made this, like, real big decision that I would not have anything done to, like, my body, because my boobs are due to, I need to kind of, like, they're 10 years old, I need to get, yeah, them redone, yeah, realistically. But I was just like, I need to wait until, like, I'm mentally in a better place before I touch my body, like surgically, because I just need to let it exist. And I think that's the thing. And I think a lot of people probably go to surgeons when they're feeling in a really, really dark place about their body. Mm. And I think that's why therapy can definitely really help kind of create that balance before going straight to a surgeon and being like, I want to get this work done, and I want to do this, and I want to change all this. It kind of gives you that breathing space to actually step back and look and be like, no, you know what, I need to work on my mind, mm, before I change anything about my body. And, mm, that's the important thing. And I feel in a really good place about that, because I was definitely like, I went through a phase and I was like, I just want to go to Turkey and get everything sucked out of me and blah, 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 blah. And now I'm in a much healthier place where I'm like, no, like, I don't, because I'm fine. I'm just myself now. So yeah, it's definitely, it's just one of those subjects that's always going to be all over the place.
That's actually a really good point. Like, people go to surgeons when they're in a really dark space, like when they're in the pit.
Yeah.
Whereas actually probably that's not the right time to do anything about it.
And a good surgeon will recognize that and hopefully not operate on you. Yeah. Like, that's what I would say. Like, if I've ever been to a surgeon and they've been like, you could also do this, this, and this, that's a red flag for me, and I've walked out the door. Whereas, yeah, if I've just been like, I kind of want to do this, and then they just talk to me about whatever that is, yeah, like, you know, I kind of don't like this about my forehead, and they just like, okay, tell me about it, and you just chat about that, then that for me is a massive green flag. So, but when they try and like upsell on the surgery, because, yeah, they're then creating and adding to insecurities you already have, and, yeah, that's messed up. Yeah. So yeah,
and that's just money making, like, which, yeah, is scary as well with that whole industry. Yeah. So you're gonna have to come back and talk to us about that side of things. Yeah. But yeah, for now we've run out of time. But please, you come back.
Oh my god, I'd, yeah, love to come.
Thanks,
loved it.
I have so many more questions.
I know. It's such a big topic. I feel like there's just so many things that you can just kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
I went a bit rogue with the Kardashians. Took up a bit of valuable time. I shouldn't.
No, I feel like they're always relevant to this conversation. They though, are. Always.
I knew it. I knew, yeah, I was doing work while I was watching it. Researching the podcast.
I knew we were going to talk for too long on this one, and I still have so many more questions. But
we'll write them down,
and you've got to come back if you want to come back. Okay. Obviously, you don't have to come back. Don't worry.
Yeah,
no worries if
we really want it, but also we won't be like heartbroken. I mean, we will be a bit heartbroken.
No worries if not. Kiss. Always, I would always be happy to come back.
So the thing is, like, my toxic trait is saying no worries when in fact I mean all the worries. Okay, well, we're gonna go and worry a lot now, but yeah. thank you so much.
Thanks guys, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network.